American servicemen and women have often spent the holidays far from home, in dangerous places where conflict can erupt around any corner. These days, home is a Skype call away, or at least a glimpse of home. But during the Second World War, packages, letters, and radio programs bridged the lonely gaps. In New York, NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg met a woman behind some of the broadcasts from those wartime days.
We keep the door open wide here, so push in, whether you're a member of the armed forces or just happen to like one.
For 15 minutes every week on NBC Radio, Phyllis Jean Creor spoke and sang to the troops and their loved ones.
And hopes of happiness will all come true. This is my wish.
Her Christmas shows were morale boosters.
Contrary to word that's going round, this Christmas may be the best we've known for many, many years. Why? Well, I think because we've got to use a lot more sentiment and a lot less tinsel. And that's the way it should be.
Remembering those seasonal shows now in her apartment on New York's Fifth Avenue, 96-year-old Phyllis Jean Creor Westerman still has traces of that perfect 1940s radio diction.
Mostly it was just more poignant because the boys didn't want to go away on Christmas.
Phyllis Jean did what she could to lift her listeners' spirits. She'd been a volunteer at the New York City Stage Door Canteen. Founded by the American Theater Wing, it was the precursor of today's USOs. Stage Door Canteens sprouted up across the country in World War II, places where troops, in New York sometimes 2,000 a night in shifts, could drop in for a few hours.
To have a place for young men, there's mostly men there, have entertainment and food and comfort. And before some of them were 17 years old, got on a ship that they couldn't mention when the ship left or what the name of it was, and they were all homesick.
Famous film and theater actors showed up to help. The 1943 film Stage Door Canteen featured some of them, Katherine Hepburn, Helen Hayes.
First time in the canteen, boys? Would you like to dance?
Yes, ma'am, and I want a blonde, 5'3" tall.
I like a brunette, 5'2".
Virginia!
Yes?
At the real New York Stage Door Canteen, young wannabe stars like Phyllis Jean Creor were regulars. As volunteers, they came to dance and chat.
But it was the stars who did the hard work. They were cooking the hamburgers and the hot dogs, served it at the tables, washed all the dishes, and they had big bands that volunteered for us to dance to. We weren't supposed to make dates with them, but I don't think everybody complied.
Did you?
Pretty much.
She'd come to the big city in the 1930s from Rochester, New York, hoping, like so many young and talented people, to find work as an entertainer. Phyllis Jean headed for the Rehearsal Club, a boarding house founded 100 years ago. It had affordable rooms for young, single women with big dreams.
And that's where I lived. 40-odd young ladies from all over the country who wanted to be an actress, a singer, a lot of rockettes.
Blonde, blue-eyed, with carefully polished nails, pretty Phyllis Jean settled right in.
And I lived there when the war started. I heard in my little room Roosevelt
in infamy
come on the radio and say war was declared.
I ask that the Congress declare.
In wartime New York, Phyllis Jean handed her food ration books over to the Rehearsal Club cook so there'd be enough sugar and butter for all the girls. She did a bit of radio work, found singing jobs with various bands at hotels like the Biltmore, and volunteered at the Stage Door Canteen. That's where she got the idea for a regular radio show to reach more troops across the U.S. and in Europe by shortwave.
I took the idea to NBC, and they okayed it. And I got a pianist, and eventually they gave me a writer.
Here is your canteen girl, Phyllis Jean.
I wish you luck in everything you do.
She took requests and dedicated the lilting, lovely songs of the day to soldiers.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes.
Mail poured in to Canteen Girl from all over the country. She keeps some letters in a big leather scrapbook in her apartment.
Dear Miss Phyllis Jean, you mention in your letter that it gives you a particular joy to learn who your listeners are. Well,
they were corporals in Missouri, a sailor in New York, so many, thanking her for cheering them up. The treasured handwritten wartime letters are fraying around the edges, but Phyllis Jean's memories are keen, especially of the words and music she wrote, which became her radio theme song.
I wish you luck in everything you do, that all your cares will disappear from view, and hopes of happiness will all come true. This is my wish.
I wish tonight, wherever you may be.
At age 96, no eyeglasses, no hearing aids, she's gotten rediscovered. A short film about her is part of the New York Historical Society's current exhibition on the city during World War II. NPR came calling, and a few weeks ago, at her apartment's holiday party, as the building's oldest resident, Phyllis Jean Creor Westerman, was offered a throne on which to sit in honor of her newfound celebrity from the old radio days.
Be sure to drop in at the canteen next Friday at the same time, won't you? Just set your dial right where it is now and wait for the announcer to say,
here is your canteen girl, Phyllis Jean.
Good luck and good night.
I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
Canteen Girl came to you from New York.
And you can read some of the letters sent to the Canteen Girl at NPR.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Steve Inskeep is back in the studio with me tomorrow. I'm David Greene.